Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This is the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr hanging out with you. Steve will be coming with us from the Sunbury Motor Studio here in just a moment. He's probably trying to figure out if there's any issues along the way with I'll Have Another, who was training today at Belmont. And the trainer, Doug O'Neill, says a loose horse nearly slammed into the Triple Crown hopeful. Says the Kentucky Derby Preakness winner walking a few feet from the outside rail with another horse threw his rider and came screaming up the outside rail on the same way I'll Have Another was walking. O'Neill says the horse went between the rail and I'll Have Another, and the exercise rider, Johnny Garcia, told him the horse was grazed by a boot. Now, the trainer feared the collision was imminent, though, but fortunately nothing happened. He says accidents like that are ugly. He says his stomach's still a little bit twisted. Said he doesn't even want to think about what nearly happened. I'll Have Another course trying to get the Triple Crown on June the 9th. Would be the first one in 34 years if he can finish off the longest race. That is the Belmont Stakes. So a little nervous moments for trainer Doug O'Neill as he has a chance to make I'll Have Another a historic horse. And course, make lots of money for the owners too that didn't pay a whole lot to get that horse. Yesterday we were talking about favorite sports movies. We had quite a few favorite sports movies listed throughout the program, and if you missed it, please go online to stevejonesshow.com and visit us online, and you can click on the archives here, the podcast of every hour of the program in its entirety, and that's available again at stevejonesshow.com. Couple of the mentions on Facebook that we got to late in the show yesterday. Remember the Titans, All the Right Moves, and Vision Quest. And again, you can find the Steve Jones Show on Facebook as well. Couple of Twitter mentions. Remember the Titans was on Twitter.
Do I have to tweet?
Well, it would be only the fourth time. Notice I didn't say the first time.
But the other ones were good, though.
They were, I must admit. But yeah, we had a couple of Twitter interactions with the hashtag sports movies, and Remember the Titans made it on the Twitter side of things with the Steve Jones Show.
One we didn't really talk about was Cinderella Man.
You know, I did not think about that one until I looked last night at a survey that went like 50 deep, which I didn't even count that there would be 50 different sports movies, but that one was around the 25-26 line, so it didn't quite make the cut that we were talking about yesterday with that top
20. Good. Very good. You know, it's Depression era. It was a real insight as to what life was like, and that movie was realistic. There was a scene, for example, in Cinderella Man where they have a birthday party. And the birthday party is for all the children in the neighborhood. In the Depression era, that is how it happened.
So they had the party. It's been a long time since I've seen it. The whole neighborhood had the party for everybody?
The entire neighborhood for all the children in the neighborhood.
Wow.
So you didn't have individual birthday parties at times, depending on your neighborhood in the Depression. You know, getting a job at the docks. It's what he had to do to keep his family going, keep them, you know, somehow pay the rent so they could keep the family going. And then when he finally pays it off, the kids go back in. You know, is it a lousy place? Yeah, it's a lousy place, but it's their place. And the kids are jumping up and down on the bed, and they love it. It was the Depression. And people had to do whatever they could do to get through it. It's the 1930s. It was awful. Now, on the lighter side, this is not a sports movie. It actually was a TV show. Mel Brooks had a TV show, I think it was in the 70s. It was about Robin Hood. He called the show When Things Were Rotten. And someone said to him, why did you entitle it When Things Were Rotten? He said, look, no running water, no television, no sports. He says, things were rotten.
That was probably mid-70s.
Yeah, mid-70s. But yes, Cinderella Man is certainly one of those movies where it's not just a sports movie. It is a movie that really tells you what life was like in the Depression in the 1930s.
There's been a lot of movies, boxing movies, that have come out like within the last 10, 15 years, true life story movies.
Sure.
The Fighter.
There have been plenty of those along the way. But the one that won the Academy Award was Rocky. And Rocky was a movie that was not just a sports movie. It was a movie around sports.
Do you know what actually went higher? When you think of all the Rocky movies, and there were, six of them total, I believe, now?
Six, yes.
Do you know that the last one, Rocky Balboa, was rated higher than even the first Rocky movie, which a lot of people felt was the best of the bunch?
Right. Well, the first Rocky movie is still the best of the bunch.
There's
there's a reason why it won the Academy Award as Best Picture. Beat out Network that year. Network was a very good film.
That was good, yeah.
With Peter Finch. It's still the best of the bunch. And I had a friend of mine I talked to earlier today. We were talking about movies. And he told me he thought the movie entitled Rocky Balboa, which would be Rocky VI.
Right.
Was, he thought, number two.
Yeah, and yeah. Stallone did a lot. Didn't he do a lot of the writing and directing on that one as well?
Yes, he did. That was his baby, start to finish.
And that's pretty impressive. That was what I was impressed about with that particular movie, that he had such a hand in it, as well as the role, he played. But and it was the first movie that really wasn't about a boxing match per se in the whole series.
Sure, but the first one, it surrounds boxing. But again, it's a down and out story in the row houses of Philadelphia in the 70s. Who's a leg breaker for the mob, essentially, who gets the shot of a lifetime. But in getting the shot of a lifetime, then of course there's a love story around it.
I was surprised yesterday, as I was thinking back, no one picked Invincible.
Invincible was okay.
I mean, the end, the touchdown run at the end of that movie, that was much longer than the real life one.
You're right.
They made it look like it was a whole 100-yard run, and it was more like 20 in real life. Right. But you know, they Hollywoodized it a little bit. But I like Greg Kinnear, though. I thought he was really good as Dick Vermeil in that.
Right.
You disagree, I take it, by the tone of your voice?
What, Greg Kinnear as Dick Vermeil?
Yeah.
I thought he was very good.
Oh, okay.
Greg Kinnear is an excellent actor. And I thought he was very good as Dick Vermeil. And I thought he gave you some real insight. You know, and as somebody, I've been around Dick Vermeil actually many times. And I'm talking not just in a professional situation, but I've been around Dick Vermeil several times, just in casual situations. I mean, he and I played a round of golf together, and I thought Greg Kinnear captured him very well.
I just thought it was neat that they brought out the green pants again. I mean, I hadn't seen those in a long time.
Right.
Maybe for good reason.
That's okay. I was around somebody one time that wore whale pants and thought they were cool.
Wore what? Right. Wait. What?
Joe wore whale pants.
What are whale pants?
There were little whales on the pants.
Oh, you mean pictures of whales? Ah.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was
a fashion statement of some sort. No, I think he picked them up at Avalon one time where he was out of clothes or whatever the heck. And he picked them up in a store and then he wore them to a game. And we're like, what the heck is this?
You ever notice the clothes that you were at where you're on vacation look a lot better when you're on vacation than when you come home?
Well, I think it was one of those last second he grabbed them off the rack deals. I don't know what the heck it was. But, yeah. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We're going to have Glenn Beckman from Schutz Sports on to talk about football helmets and concussions at 3:35. And we're also on track to try and get Matt Adams of the St. Louis Cardinals on the at 3:05. Matt Adams is a great story. He is out of Phillipsburg Osceola High School in Western Center County, who has made his way to the major leagues. And right now he is the man that replaced Albert Pujols with the Cardinals. So one of our own from our own backyard, Matt Adams, and we're working to get him on the show tomorrow at 3:05.
Have you talked to Girardi yet today?
Yes, he called me this morning. We talked for 25 minutes.
And what's the situation with I'll Have Another?
The horse is fine.
All right.
It almost got bumped off.
We talked about that
running at
ago,
Belmont.
Just
want
to make sure.
It's alive. Don't worry about it.
Figured it was alive.
It's alive. It can run.
Great.
In fact, he was on his way. He was actually going to stop over at a stable to take a look at a horse. But then that was got delayed, and he's just going to come up, join me tonight here, and we're going to the Coaches versus Cancer reception. But, yeah, he was on Daily News Live last night on Comcast. He was on with the former Gov, Ed Rendell.
Because he's got nothing else going on right now. You might as well go back there.
Ooh, the Gov? Gov wrote a book. Gov wrote a book.
I know.
He's promoting his book.
I know.
And, you know what? Guess what? We may have him on the show.
Oh, great. Then I'll get to play the old audio that I had from him from years ago.
Yeah. No, we may have him on the show. I'm actually working on that for see if we can do it. Well, we'll talk about what we want to do. But, you know, because believe me, the Gov can talk sports.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have talked to him.
All the
times I've talked to him, he says, you know, I mean, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And he is a sports fan extraordinaire. But we're going to have Glenn Beckman on today from Schutz Sports. We're going to talk about helmets, not just Schutz helmets, but also, you know, all the R&D that they do, research and development that they do all the time.
Oh, here it is. Here's my favorite Rendell statement.
They should put a statue of me up on their mantle.
That's my favorite.
Oh, boy. Something tells me there was more.
It was talking about the times that they were trying to help people who were hurt by the lack of a budget. And said, you know, he's gone the extra mile to try and help them out. They should put a statue of him up in their mantle place.
Wonderful. I like the confidence. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. It's an off day for the Phillies, by the way.
Oh, good. Then nobody will get hurt.
You never know. The day's young. The day's young.
And the big news from ESPN, Tiger shoots a 2-under 70.
Yes, that will be the story tonight. That'll be the story tonight.
Yeah, the lead line is coming off the worst 3 tournament stretch as a pro. Tiger Woods had a 2-under.
Here, let me tell you what Tiger Woods' problem is on the golf course. Okay,
he thinks too much.
Well, that's part of it. You know how I feel about sports psychology.
Yep.
I think it's mumbo jumbo. Okay, I am all for motivation, positive messages, and every once in a while you get the swift kick in the you know what. Okay. But all this stuff about visualize the ball going into the basket.
Be the ball, Danny.
Visualize the ball hitting the bat. Just pick up the bat, hit the damn thing, and move on. Okay? Thinking is to be done in practice.
thinking is not to be done in the game, because at that point it should be routine as to what you need to do. Okay? If the play calls for you to be 12 to run a 12-yard out, instinctively, by the time you get to game day, you shouldn't even have to sit there and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know where 12 is because you've done it so many times. It's repetitive where you're supposed to be. And I'm sorry. I'm not a believer. Never have been. Never have been. I mean, do you think I sit there before a broadcast and I sit down and I think to myself, visualize what you'll say today. Visualize how you'll handle this situation. Oh, for opportunities. I'm not going to be put to sleep by some Svengali who was the here at Penn State. I've known him for a long time, and yes, he'll. I think it's mumbo jumbo. You used to play golf the way. Well, time he took a shot, it was always the idea that he was setting up the next shot because he shot it in such a way where he put it in the corner, but also had the cue ball roll to a spot where now he was ready to put one on the side. That's how Tiger Woods used to play golf. Impeccable course management. He always was taking a shot to set up the next shot. Now he's just taking shots. And then he walks up and says, okay, now what do I do? Okay, I have to go there now? Didn't play like that anymore. That's what it is. He now plays. He's not playing shot by shot. He's not playing to set up shots. He's hoping to set up shots, but he's not playing and setting up shots. He's not. He's playing shot by shot now. And if there's anybody in sports that overthinks, it's him. You can see it.
Oh, I don't disagree. I mean, you've heard him talk about it.
I mean, do you think Sarah Bartlett's sitting there right now saying, listen, I'm going to visualize how I do the news? It's safe. You take the copy, you do it. Have some confidence.
Visualize. Be the ball, Danny. Be the ball.
Now you're talking to your kid again, I know.
No, I wasn't actually. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite lines from Caddyshack.
Yes, we can recite them all day.
That's the problem, and you know you've gotten old when you start reciting lines and people just stare at you because they have no clue what you're talking about. Then you know you've gotten old.
Oh, I was reciting lines from Animal House just 2 weeks ago with somebody, and you'll laugh as soon as I tell you who it is, but I'm not going to say it on the show.
Okay.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show and WKOK after this.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
He's back. Tiger shot a 70. It's all over. I think he'll win the U.S. Open. No.
What about the one he's playing in now? Is that
No. This time you'll end up like 300, 400. Simple as that. I'm sorry. He's just in 2009, he was the best player in the game. He's not the best player in the game now.
Who is?
I don't know. If I had to pick a guy, I'll tell you right now, he's more consistent than he is. Mickelson's more consistent.
Mickelson's been that way for a long time.
Mickelson's consistently in the top 10 whenever he plays. You know, I think he's, what, won once this year, and he lost in a playoff once.
Yeah, he's the type of guy you just can't not like.
Well, everybody likes him.
Yeah, I know.
That's what drives Woods up the wall.
He's playing second fiddle. Is that the problem?
No. In terms of likability?
Yeah.
I have a story about that after we talk to Tim Beckman of Shut. Okay?
Story time with Steve. I love that.
No. It's a true story about Tiger and charity, or the lack thereof. It has to do with a golf tournament, the CVS golf tournament in Rhode Island.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. And today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. Great guy, Rick. An important part of our show, and we appreciate that very much from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Tiger Woods and charity, right? Before I get to Glenn Beckman here.
Okay.
Brad Faxon and who is the other Rhode Island golfer? Billy Andrade. Decided that they wanted to do something for their tournament. You get every and they got every one of them. Nicklaus, Palmer, Mickelson. I mean, everyone they could possibly find. You know, Bob Golby, who won in 68, beat Roberto DiVincenzo. Got every one of them. Tom Watson. Except for one.
I got a guess.
Oh, I think the entire audience has guessed. All right. Let's talk about football helmets and concussions. Several members of the sales staff just perked up. We're going to talk about football helmets and concussions. Our pleasure to bring in Glenn Beckman from Shutt Helmets. And Shutt, by the way, is the official helmet of Penn State football. Let's bring in Glenn Beckman from Shutt. And Glenn, welcome. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, more than happy to. Sorry, I was running a little bit late.
No, Glenn, it's great to have you on the show because there's a lot of things we want to talk about. Shutt, by the way, is the manufacturer of the Penn State football helmet. We'll say that off the top. Give us an idea, Glenn, in research. How much research is done by Shutt to put together a helmet that at least gives you a reasonable chance of staying as far away from a concussion as possible?
Well, you know, the first thing to acknowledge, obviously, is that no helmet is concussion-proof. There's a lot of, with all of the attention lately, there's a lot of information that's going on around the country and around the world, in fact, regarding football helmets and concussions. And what people need to realize is that helmets are not the solution to the concussion problem, and that any company or any organization or any academic study that says this particular helmet or that particular helmet or that particular mouth guard or anything like that reduces your risk of concussion is just really not telling the truth. There are so many factors that go into the causing of concussions, and helmets really only do one or two things. Number one, they protect the outside of your head, you know, from skull fractures and from serious injuries like subdural hematomas. And two, they absorb impact. But there are so many other factors that cause concussions that for us or for anyone to say that this helmet does a better job is nonsense, really. But in terms of, you know, the R&D, let me give you an example. We are introducing a new helmet this year called the Vengeance DCT. And that helmet, because of the way we are manufacturing it, what we've done is, in the past, previously, our cushions were inside the helmet, and they were affixed using a couple of pieces of Velcro, one piece inside the helmet, one piece on the cushion, and that's what kept it in place. Think of the thickness of those two pieces of Velcro together. We've been able to eliminate those pieces of Velcro, which gives us an additional 1/8 inch that we can increase size of the cushioning inside the helmet, and that has been a significant increase in the performance of the helmet in terms of how much impact it can absorb. So, you know, it is easily a seven-figure investment to try to introduce a new football helmet because you're trying out different materials. You're making samples, prototypes, SLAs of different shapes and trying this, and if we do this, then what happens over here on the other side, and what if we use this material? So it really requires a lot of research and development You know, and I can't speak for any of the other football helmet makers, but I think I'm pretty safe to say that we're all greatly concerned about the safety of the players on the field, and so we put every dime that we can into making the best products we can.
Give us an idea of the challenge of lightweight, functional, and protective.
Yeah, that is a real challenge. Everybody wants lighter and stronger, you know, and for the most part, we can meet those challenges. There are certainly materials out there that we could make helmets out of, alternative materials that are lighter than the polycarbonate that the helmets at Penn State are made out of. The problem is they then become brittle. And, you know, like an auto racing helmet is designed to absorb the impact of a crash by basically destroying itself, much like the car itself. The force is dissipated through the destruction of the protective materials. But, you know, that would be a lighter helmet, but it would also be a $700 or $800 helmet, and you'd have to probably replace the helmet, you know, 9, 10, 12, 13 times a season. So we have to find a balance between the lightweight that everyone wants, the strength that everyone wants, and the ability to withstand thousands of impacts of varying force levels, either small impacts or very large impacts. I was reading a study the other day that showed that the range of G-force of impacts in college can range from 60 G to 169 G in some rare extreme cases. That's as if you got hit by a car going 20 miles an hour. You know, so it's a very unique engineering challenge, to say the least.
Right, no question about it. Give us the shape of the helmet, especially for areas that are tapered in the back. Why did Schutt come up with that particular design?
Well, we found it. What you want to do, most important thing for any football helmet, and what you really want is for the helmet to fit over the widest part of your head, which is, you know, the top part about an inch above your eyebrows. But your jaw tends to be narrower. So you want that helmet to be tapered so that you get that nice snug fit around the jaw, around the occipital area, so that the jaw impactions actually makes the helmet stronger. And in the back, it will provide a little bit more protection when that player is falling backwards and his head hits the ground or he gets kneed in the back of the head or something like that. So really, those are there for those reasons.
At the same time, give us an idea market-wise. I believe the Giants use your helmet now, right?
Right. The New York Giants, probably 70 to 80% of those guys wear our helmets, and we're really proud of that. We are not the officially licensed helmet of the NFL. That honor belongs to our competitor, Riddell. But we're very proud of the fact that the teams like the Giants choose to buy our stuff instead of getting the free gear that they would get from Riddell because they believe in our products. And in fact, 30% of the players in the NFL choose to wear our helmets instead of getting the free ones.
Right, which is tremendous. It's not just football helmets. You actually provide helmets for a wide variety of sports, don't you?
Well, we do football. We're looking into some other sports. We also make really, really outstanding batter's helmets for both baseball and fast pitch softball. We've been the official partner of the Team USA Women's Olympic softball team when it's been in the Olympics, and also the national team now that it's not in an Olympic sport anymore. We're getting a lot of really, really great acceptance from the baseball world as we're trying to move a little bit more into there with some of our products. You know, and we've looked at other sports, too, with helmets. People ask us about lacrosse and hockey and things like that. So you never know what the future lies.
There's been, as you mentioned when we started this, Frank, Glenn, so much about, and we've had a doctor on talking about concussions on the show, and you can't, as you mentioned correctly, you can't make a concussion-proof helmet. You just can't. But at the same time, I noticed that when you go to the website, for example, right away, you have a warning come up and say, hey, look, read through this. We're not going to guarantee whatever, but we'll do the best we can, basically.
Yeah, you know, and there are a lot of things that get thrown at the helmet makers. We have a lot of responsibility that's laid at our feet, and understandably so. You know, a concussion is a head injury. It's an internal head injury, but it is a head injury. And helmets are there to protect the head, simply enough. So it's understandable that most people expect helmets to really, you know, prevent concussions. But if the comparison that I like to make for people to get them to understand is the world has perfected a way to keep eggs safe. Egg cartons protect the exterior of the egg. Those shells, they're shipped hundreds of miles, and they, for the most part, are intact when they make it to the shelf of the store. But if you take that egg and you shake it, the shell doesn't crack, but the inside of the egg is scrambled. And that's essentially what's happening in a concussion-like injury, is that the brain is being injured. And until technology advances to the point where we can figure out a way to reach inside and cradle the brain itself, you know, helmets are not going to be able to do what people are expecting them to do. And, you know, with all of the recent attention, and we are very glad to see all of the conversations going on all over the country about everything involved with keeping players safe and you know, and the unfortunate tragedies of, you know, befalling Junior Seau and Dave Person and Rob Easterling and all of those, it's raising the level of discussion so that people are aware of the injury and the most important things. You need to be aware of what it is. You need to be able to diagnose it, and you need to be able to treat it. And those are some very important things. And it's going to take efforts by us. It's going to take efforts from you, the media, to make sure that people understand, you know, all the things involved in a concussion. It's going to take efforts from coaches to make sure that they're teaching the proper technique. It's going to take efforts from the NFL to make sure that they're not glamorizing this gladiator culture where in the NFL these guys are launching themselves like missiles at each other. You know, and it's going to take concerted efforts on all our parts to make a great dent in the battle against concussions.
Glenn, is it also a case where, because the medical community has done such a great job, and they've made exponential leaps in what they've done with their research over the years, especially the last 10 years, that we're just so much more aware of it compared to where we were, that the reality may be that there are fewer today because of it, or else it's safer because of that research. We're just more aware of it now.
I would agree with the second part on that. I think we're not seeing a decrease in concussions. I don't think we're seeing more concussions. I just simply think we're seeing the reporting of more concussions. That having been said, I still think, you know, and it's sort of our position that there are still way too many unreported head injuries, and that goes back to the whole culture thing. You know, it's completely understandable for a guy in, you know, sitting in the Philadelphia Eagles or the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room to say, you know what, if I sit out the next game because I'm injured, that kid over there might get my spot. You know, and this is my livelihood, so I'm not going to say anything. It's almost an understandable situation. But for a 15 or 16-year-old guy on the high school football team to take that attitude, we've got to get rid of that. We've got to make sure that these kids understand that it's okay to report the injury. Because what most people don't understand is that nearly everyone can recover from a concussion, and nearly everyone can recover within a week or two at the most. Vast majority of concussions are recovered from within a week. But if the brain is not given proper time to heal, the second injury that might occur is the one that really causes problems. It's called second impact syndrome. And that's the one where, you know, kids are dying from and players are having really, really catastrophic injuries, because they're sustaining another injury before the first one has had a chance to heal.
In fact, you're 50% more susceptible to a concussion once you've had the first one.
Yeah, that's what I hear. You know, there's all kinds of information. And like I said, this raising the level of discussion among everyone, among academia, among the NFL, among youth coaches in Pop Warner and USA Football and high schools, everyone talking about it raises the level of information that we all have. And, you know, and while some of it is not so good, most of it is good, well-intentioned, and we're all learning from it. And yes, you know, it certainly seems that having one concussion makes you more susceptible in the future,
Glenn,
so which makes it all the more important to recover.
Exactly. Glenn, for you and for Shutt, what's the most rewarding? Even though there's obviously a concentration, we're talking about it, and you and I have talked about it extensively now, give us an idea from you personally and also from Shutt what the most rewarding part of all this is for you in this particular business.
Knowing that while we cannot make it 100% guaranteed injury-proof for young football players or football players of any age, we are making the game as safe as we possibly can, and allowing these kids to take part in a game that we believe not only teaches them about sports, but teaches them all kinds of life lessons. You know, team sports in general, and I believe football in particular, you know, teach a young man, or in some cases a young girl, you know, what it's like to be disciplined and what it's like to earn a reward based on hard work and what it's like to achieve something with a team and to be dependent on by a group of other people and to depend on another group of people. Those are all great things for young people to learn. And I think for us to be able to be a steward for the safety of the game, it is personally for me a great reward.
Glenn, thanks so much for the time that you gave us today, the insight you gave us as well. And I know the Penn State players love the helmets that they have here. And again, not 100% foolproof, but I know a lot of people have a lot of confidence in them.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, the most important thing is for any football player listening, whatever helmet you're wearing, make sure it's fitted properly. That's going to get you the best performance from your helmet. If it's not ours, still make sure that it's fitted properly.
Glenn, thanks so much. Appreciate it. All right, we'll come back more with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 1-800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. They aren't foolproof, that's for sure. But you can tell that they're putting a lot of money into research and development.
Well, you look at some of the new helmets and the inside of them, they've changed quite a bit in the last few years alone. But when you look back even 10 years, it was always like a hard foam that was on the inside of the helmet. Now, right. Now it's much more of a, almost like a gel pack that's on the inside of the helmets now.
Right. And again, the challenge is to make them lighter but better. Players don't want, I mean, that's what it goes back to. Why I asked the question was it goes back to what the NFL wants to do with thigh pads and knee pads. Players, the skilled players don't want to wear them. Why? Because they don't want to feel like they're being held down. They want to feel loose and free. That's the reason why.
Yeah, but they've been playing with those pads for how many years? Why all of a sudden the change?
All of a sudden, what? This is no change. This has been going on for a long time.
Why would they have that feeling is what I'm saying. They've been playing with those thigh pads and knee pads for years.
No, they haven't. That's the point.
Not everybody's using them at every level now.
They have been used at a lot of levels for a long time, really? Kevin.
That's the issue. I never took notice of that, though.
I see it in practice all the time.
Ugh, there's no way I wouldn't want a knee pad on.
No, I see it all the time. Skill players don't want to do it. They want to feel loose and free when they run.
I did not realize that that wasn't mandatory in college.
I see it all the time. See it all the time. Like, okay.
What's it make you a whole, what, 1 mile an hour faster?
Yeah, but it all has to do with how you feel about it.
Ah, but that goes into the first part of the program and psychology.
Right, but that's why I think that's mumbo jumbo.
Yeah,
I've always felt, hey, oh come on, visualize hitting the ball. Steve, visualize calling a Penn State touchdown. Here, let me think about it. Either that, or he can react. And boy, it sounds better. All right, our number. 1-800-795-9565. Second hour of the Steve Jones Show starts with a bang with CBS News, followed by the incomparable Sarah Bartlett, the best at what she does.
And then it goes downhill. Just kidding.
Drew Kelly joins me for the second hour.